Good evening. It's good to be here. All right. Okay. I'll stand out of the way here. Is that all right? Or yeah. You'll be able to hear me at the back if I talk this loud? Good. Okay, so for those that haven't met us, we're the Johnston family. My name's James, and my wife Tia, and I've been married 10 years, and we've got three boys. Jeshua's 8, and Noah is 6. This is Noah. And Nathaniel is 22 months. The Lord has called us to East Timor. And we're on our way there. Well, we're on the path the Lord has us on at the present. As Pastor mentioned, we're from Grace Baptist Church, and we were saved through their ministries, or because they had a Sunday school ministry, we started going to their church, and the Lord said, sort yourself out. We were worried about our children, and he said, you got to get yourself right first. And so we're thankful for the Sunday school ministries here at Grace Baptist Church, and that's pastored by Pastor Buddy Smith, and he says hello before I forget to tell you that. So for those that know him, he says hello. And we find it's a blessing to be under Pastor Buddy, and we're blessed to be in this church. And, I grew up on a dairy farm. This is the Atherton Tablelands, or the southern part of the Atherton Tablelands. Predominantly was dairy country, but now it's more beef fattening blocks for stations as the dairy industry has declined. And I spent 32 years growing up on a farm, and that was a blessing, and it's the best way to raise a kid. I'm thankful that I was raised on a farm, and God is good. For those that don't know where Malanda is, or the Atherton Tablelands, it's about an hour and a half a drive from Cairns. And so if you're ever up near Cairns, it's not far. I know you city people like to drive and spend lots of time doing it. So an hour and a half is not far. Come and visit us if we're there, or visit those that are in at Grace. Timor-Leste is where we're going, or East Timor. It's about an hour and a half flight from Darwin, or 10 hours in a boat. If you have a fishing boat, dinghy, you can get there in 10 hours. So there's no excuse, okay? If we're there, you should be able to visit us. Possibly come for a trip. The country itself, the name Timor, is a Portuguese. It was originally a Malay word spelt T-I-M-U-R, meaning east, and the Portuguese changed the spelling there a little bit. But Leste actually means east as well. So we're going to east. It's a little bit of trivia for you about the country. The country is about 300 kilometres long, about 60 kilometres wide, so if you know Greater Sydney, it's about that, 15,000 square kilometres, very mountainous terrain, and a distinct wet season, dry season climate, very humid and hot. If you've been to Darwin at all, it's similar to Darwin weather. Population is about 1.3 million, or approaching 1.3 million. Of half of that population actually lives in the capital, Dili. That fluctuates a little bit with a lot of transient movement with young people coming to university from other villages, mountain villages. Most of the people are flocking to Dili to get a higher education so they can escape the country. It's actually ranked the second worst malnutrition country in the world at present. I'll mention a couple of names, Setulan and Fata Mekerik, and they're in this area where the Yal is. And the country is predominantly Catholic, 95%, depending on what source you look at, but around 95% Catholic, 1% Muslim, the remainder Protestant denominations. We'll be working primarily with the Smiths. Chris and Margie Smith have been there now 21 years this year, and the Lord has laid on our hearts to be a helps ministry to them. So primarily we're going as a helps ministry to the Smiths and taking some of their burden off them, some of the ministry off them, and try to be a blessing to them, to free them up. Neither of them have been back to Australia together since they've been there. They've either only Chris has come back or Margie's come back. They've never been back to Australia together. So they've never had a break together. We were able to be there 3 years ago, and we ran a kids club for 4 days. And on the Monday, we went around the compound just to let the families know that it's on. And on the Thursday and Friday, we had 60 kids turn up to this ministry. And this is a ministry the Lord's laid on my heart to start when we get there, is a youth ministry. The people live in fear of the Catholics over there. Chris and Margie have seen firsthand when a family or person leaves a Catholic church and goes to another church, that while they're at church, the Catholics come and burn their house down. And so the people live in fear, so they're possibly isn't much opportunity on a Sunday with these kids, but Monday to Saturday, there's opportunity with these kids. And so that's a ministry the Lord's laid on my heart to start at some stage when we're there. We were able to go through some of the Ten Commandments and a couple of parables with them and give them the gospel when we were there 3 years ago. And that was a blessing to us. Do some craft and stuff with them as well. There is a school that's on the compound, a demountable building that Chris and Margie have shifted around for a few years, and a couple of other buildings there on the compound. It's run by some Filipinos, and similar to sending your children to Australia, they learn in English and they learn Tetan as a second language. The children that go to that school are predominantly Chinese or other nations, not Timorese. Chris has been running a Bible Institute for a number of years, and there was, prior to COVID, there were 6 students doing 8 subjects there. He has a devotion with that each night, and so he's asked when I'm there if I'll be able to take over doing the devotion. I'm not sure if that's back up running. They're actually in lockdown at the stage in Dili. This is a little church building in Setulan. It was a blessing to go here, and a blessing that these people, they wanted their own church building, and so they got the funds together and they got the materials and they built this themselves. And you can see it's only about 14 Besser blocks long and a doorway, and not a big building. But it was a blessing that they wanted their own church building, and so they sacrificed for it. And so that's in the mountain village of Setulan. That's about 90 kilometres drive from Dili. Brother Aldo was heading the ministry there. His brother Antonio is heading that ministry at the moment. Brother Aldo is in Dili. And he was one of our translators while we were there, as well as Pastor Chris Smith. These are some of the children that Brother Aldo was working with up there, and that we were able to do some craft with, and we were able to teach them some of our children's songs. They tried to teach us some songs. Unfortunately, we've forgotten those, but Brother Aldo was working with these children every day. School's not compulsory in East Timor. And so Brother Aldo would take these kids and go to school, take them to school, and then in the afternoon he would take them to the church and be doing a Bible lesson with them. And so they had Bible input every day of the week, including Saturday, and at church on Sunday. I'm not sure if that's continued since Brother Aldo is not there in Setulan, but we were able to do some craft with them there as well. The population of the country is quite young. They don't live much past 60. There is people older than that, but it's rare to find people much older than 60 in the country. This is Brother John and his wife Maria. They're in Fatimakerik. Fatimakerik is about 10 hours walk further on from Setulan, and most of the time you do have to walk it because the road's washed out. You can't get a bike through or a car. Just recently the road was done up because a government official wanted to visit the place, so it was done up and they were able to get some building materials through. Brother John made all these bricks himself, and they wanted their own church to fellowship in. And so just last year, they built their own church building. So we'll be working in these villages, Setulan and Fatimakerik, and also some other villages along the way that the Smiths have been working with. You'll see some corn just coming up in the front of this church building. This is built on Brother John's land. This is some of the brethren that are from Fatimakerik. They've walked 3 days down to be baptized, and this is the third time that they've done that from that village, to walk down to Dili and be baptized by Pastor Chris. And that's just them enjoying some fellowship cake and a bit of time together. And this is the Tetan teacher the Lord provided for us, Amalia. We had a friend of ours inquire about teaching a man to milk cows so that he could get a job. And this was about 4 years ago, and we said we would, so we trained him for a little bit. He was Portuguese and he didn't speak much English, and so I didn't converse with him about much other than how to milk a cow and get things right. And all I knew about Amalia was that she moved from Portugal 32 years prior to that. It wasn't until we had been to East Timor for our survey trip and came back that Tia saw John and Amalia in the markets, and from there she found out that Amalia was actually Timorese and asked if she'd teach us Tetan, which is the main language there. And Amalia's since, so the last 2.5 years or so, Amalia's been teaching us Tetan, which is the main language, and not in structured classes, but just the basics, and reading through the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans now. We try to do that every Thursday, which has been difficult when we're on the road, but we have done some lessons while on deputation. So pray for our Tetan lessons and pray for Amalia. She is not yet, we don't believe she's saved yet. She is Catholic, raised a Catholic in East Timor and then in her time in Portugal and in Australia. So just some prayer points for the ministry we're going into there at Fatahada Baptist Church at Dili. The primary prayer point of that is Margie's health, particularly. She's had a chest infection for a number of months now, and doctors have been unable to diagnose that. They've sent tests to Australia and they haven't received any results back from that yet. That was supposed to take 6 weeks, and that was about probably 9 weeks ago. The translating of the Bible, Pastor Chris Smith has been translating that for pretty much since he arrived in East Timor. They've done the New Testament, and that's at printing stage. Their plan is to have a trilingual Bible with Portuguese, Tetan, and English on the same page, and hoping that the schools will take that on as a teaching material. He's currently translating the Old Testament. He's about halfway through doing that. The potential of the children's ministry there. The location of the church, their current compound that they rent, they've been there 8 years. At the end of this contract, the landlord wants to raise the price up much higher than it is now. And so that is a much-needed prayer to see if they can get the landlord to actually decrease or to remain the same at bare minimum. It'd be a blessing if she was saved and then could gift, I guess, that to them there. The school that's attached, Lighthouse International School, just for the salvation of the students, I'm not sure where these families that go to this school actually fellowship, because they don't fellowship at the church there at Whareharā. The outreaches in Setulan and Whareharā, and there's some others, just for growth for the believers, and also a prayer request just for ourselves in regards to deputation. From Thursday, Lord willing, we'll be flying to Western Australia for about a month, and then flying back to Sydney, Lord willing, further south after that to Victoria, and possibly South Australia, before getting home July-ish to have the baby at home and be prepared and let Tia do all the nesting things that women do. Again, our Tetan lessons. And just the Lord's timing for us to go to East Timor. That door is closed at present with COVID. Lord willing, we'll be there by the end of the year. Okay. I'll turn that off. Actually, I'll give you that back. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Judges Chapter 6, and we won't be here long in Judges, and then we'll be in Exodus. Judges chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that the Lord wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can be here. Pray, Lord, that as we read through your word, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to see truths. Lord, we pray that this time would be a blessing. I do pray, Lord, that you'd give me clarity of mind and clarity of mouth, Lord. And pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, just help us tonight, Lord, to have hearing ears and open hearts, Lord, to receive your word, Lord. Maybe something not even that I say, Lord, but something they see in your word. I pray, Lord, this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's times like Gideon that we want to make sure that we're in the will of God and that something is of God. And December 2019, I asked myself the question, how many times do I have to be told? How many times do I have to be told? I was thinking over what Tia and I had been praying about. We'd been praying about deputation, or if the Lord wanted us to go on deputation, or if the Lord just wanted us to go straight to East Timor. And at that time, I was reading through the book of Esther, and the Lord from that prompted me to send letters to churches to see if there'd be any response. If there was a response, then the Lord would want us to do deputation, and if there wasn't, then the Lord would want us to go directly to East Timor. And we'd been praying about that for some time, but before we even sent the letters, we started asking the Lord, Lord, if you want us to do deputation, the pastors will start contacting us regardless and asking us to present the ministry of East Timor before the letters even go. And it was within a couple of days, Pastor Kelly Gillam from Townsville rang and asked if we'd present the ministry in February, in the first week of February. And at that stage, I thought, okay, Lord, you want us to do deputation. But I wasn't sure. I thought, it might be just a once-off. And so we asked the Lord, Lord, if another church contacts us, we'll know that you want us to do deputation. And then we had a phone call from Pastor Dave Onus asking if I'd fill in the ministry there in January in Mackay. And I thought, okay, Lord, this doesn't seem like deputation. Because Dave didn't want us to present at that time. He just wanted us to fill in. And we're actually going the wrong direction. We're at Mackay in January, and then we're heading north in February. We're going in the wrong direction to be doing deputation. Churches are all south of us. And so we said, Lord, make it clear. We just need you to make it clear to us. And then we had a phone call from another pastor asking us to present in February further south. And so we knew then, okay, Lord, we're going on deputation. You've made it clear to us. Do you ever think, boy, I'm slow? How long did it take me to know that the Lord was going to send us on deputation? And you look back and see what the Lord was doing, and you say, okay, Lord, I see now. I see what you're doing there and there, and I just didn't get the hint. Sorry, Lord. But the point of that is, are you listening to God? Are we listening to God? Are we paying attention to Him? Hello? What's He telling you? He's not just speaking to those in leadership in church. He speaks to all of us about something. About something in our lives, whether it's something He wants us to do, someone He wants us to talk to, something He wants to get us to get rid of in our lives. And there's times like Gideon when we just want to make sure of something. But are we putting the fleece out there because we want to clarify the answer? Or are we putting the fleece out there because we don't like the answer and we want to serve the Lord on our own terms, in our own way, because we want a different answer? And there's a fine line there between trusting the Lord, taking Him for His word, at His word, and putting the fleece out there and making sure of it, or there being a lack of faith on the other side of the line, doubting God, not trusting Him, grieving the Spirit. I think The answer is, are you willing to say yes, Lord, when you get the answer? Whatever the answer is, are you willing to say yes, Lord? I'm honest, I didn't want to do deputation. I thought, you know, let's just go straight there. But the Lord has a purpose behind everything. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. So in Exodus chapter 3, Moses sees the burning bush. He says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. The Lord asks him to remove his shoes and tells Moses that he's going to be the spokesperson for Israel and lead the nation out of Egypt. And the Lord's going to give him signs to prove that to others that the Lord has spoken to him, that God has spoken to him. And so in Exodus chapter 4 here, we're given those signs, or Moses is given those signs. So in Exodus chapter 4, and starting in verse 2, and the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it fled, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Now, other than the miracles, there's something here that impresses me. And that's Moses, his obedience, and how he says, yes, Lord. I don't know if you noticed how he said, yes, Lord, but he didn't verbally say, yes, Lord. But he said, yes, Lord, in his actions. His actions say, yes, Lord. And that's what we need to learn to say, is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, when he says, take off thy shoes. Yes, Lord. Cast down thy rod. Yes, Lord. Put thine hand into thy bosom. Yes, Lord. Do we know how to say yes, Lord? When the Lord's speaking to us, when he's telling us to do something, do we know how to say yes, Lord? When he says, go talk to that person. When he says, give that person a tract. Give that person a phone call. They need to hear from somebody today. Go mow that person's lawn. Be a blessing. Cook some food for this person. They're in need. Do we know how to say yes, Lord? When he says, be in church more. Help someone out. Help wash the dishes. Do we know how to say yes, Lord? Let's read further along in this passage, and we'll start in verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, And he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." Right here, Moses says, "No, Lord." He's just said, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord." And then he says, "No, Lord. Send someone else. Send someone else. Use someone else. My mouth is not eloquent. My tongue is slow. Use someone else." I think Moses really misses out on a blessing here. He misses out on a blessing. I'm sure that, you know, you'll all agree that we've done this before. We've all said, "No, Lord." We've all said, "No, Lord." And I'll give you an example in my life. We run the market ministry there in Malanda, and that's once a month. And the Lord, at the time, he lays somebody on my heart that I see walking towards us and say, "That person needs a tract. Make sure that person gets a tract." And so as they come past me, I offer them a tract, and then the Lord says, "Say something to them." And I say, "Oh, Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. What do I say?" And I hesitate. Do you know that hesitation is the same as saying, "No, Lord"? Right at that point, when we hesitate, we're not trusting the Lord. We're not resting in his strength. We don't trust that he'll put the words in our mouth. We don't trust that the Lord would use us. And we're denying him working through us and in us at that point, right when we hesitate. And it might be for a second, or it might be a minute, might be a split second. But we hesitate, and we're not trusting the Lord right there. That hesitation is the same as "No, Lord." The hesitation is the same as "No, Lord." Not me, Lord. Someone else. Use someone else to tell them. Use someone else to witness to them. That's what a hesitation is. It's saying no. Sometimes the Lord is gracious, and I might get opportunities, they walk back out of the markets, to witness to them or say something to them. But a lot of the time I've just missed the blessing. I don't get that opportunity to tell them the gospel or talk to them at all. I miss that blessing. God will only use us as much as our obedience. God will only use you and I as much as our obedience. How many times do we need to be told simply to obey? Simply to obey. In the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah tells the people over and over again what's going to happen, and they don't believe him, they don't listen, and then there's a remnant there in Judah that's left, and they come to him and say, "Whatever the Lord will tell us to do, we'll do." And he goes away, comes back 10 days later, and he says, the Lord says, "Stay here, serve the Babylonians, fear them not, and you'll live, but if you go to Egypt, you're going to die." And it's not the answer they want to hear. They don't trust that the Lord is going to protect them through that. They don't trust the Lord is doing something there. And so they flee and they run and they end up dying in Egypt. Are we trusting the Lord? Has God been telling you the same thing over and over again? And you just don't get the point? You don't get the hint? Or maybe he's calling you to do something, a ministry, serve him somehow, to witness to a family, particular family member. Maybe he's telling you to get rid of something in your life, to separate under him a little bit more, to sanctify yourselves. And you just don't trust him. You're not trusting the Lord with that particular thing. Do you know that he wants the best for you? He wants to use you. And do you trust that he knows what's best for you? You know, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If the Lord be God, follow him. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." When we look at that word "hear" that's translated in the Old Testament, that word is, I think it's pronounced shoma, and it has the meaning of hearing unto obedience, hearing unto obedience. And so 1 Samuel 15 is actually a very good chapter to look through. It's translated hear or hearken or obey, and some other ways there as well. But hearing unto obedience. If you told your children, go pick up your toys, and they don't do it, and you go and tell them again, go pick up your toys, and they don't do it, you would say, you didn't hear me, because they didn't have obedience. So they didn't hear you. And if we're seeking the Lord for what's best in our life, he's not going to lead you somewhere. He's not going to do something with you. He's not going to take you somewhere that he's not going to help you with. He's going to help you. If he says, go somewhere, he's going to help you. If he says, speak to that person, he's going to help you. He's not wicked that he wants to do evil with us. God is good. That's his very nature. James 1:16 says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Matthew 7 from 9 to 11 says, "Well, what man is there of you who, if he asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask?" Now he wants to give you good things. He sent his only begotten Son to earth to die in your place. That's how much he loves you and cares for you. You know, I think we really are a privileged people in this country. We have really good health care, don't we? We are so privileged. And I do believe we live in a privileged country, even though this country is spiraling into wickedness. But we still have many privileges. And one of those is that something that can't be taken away, and that's the privilege that we can serve a living God. Serve the true God. And we're privileged also because we can carry the gospel message. I don't know if you've thought about how valuable that message is, but what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know, the message we carry can lead a person to Christ. That soul can be saved. That tells me the message we carry is of greater value than anything in this world. Can lead somebody to Christ. They can trust God as their Savior. You know, it's not big leaps and bounds. These are just small steps of obedience. I believe God gives us small things and sees if we're going to do those before he gives us something a little bigger. When we started going to Grace 5 years ago, it wasn't long the Lord started telling us some things we needed to get rid of. We'd stopped drinking prior to that, but we still had alcohol in the house. And the Lord said, you need to get rid of that. And he said to me, particularly about sport, particularly football, that it was an idol in my life and I needed to get rid of that out of my life. He said, you need to be baptized. You need to be members. You need to be on the cleaning roster. You need to help out on the mowing roster. All these things, just little steps that the Lord used in our life to see if we were going to be obedient. You know, if he told us to get rid of the alcohol in our house and we didn't do it, I don't think he would have given us the next step because we didn't listen to the first one. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, what's the Lord telling us to do? Are we listening to him? It's just little steps. The Lord only usually gives us the next step. And I don't want you to think that I've reached the summit and I'm obedient. I'm just at the bottom of the mountain looking up like you. There's times I still hesitate. You know, I don't know why, but the fear of man. But I know the Lord is helping me with that. But God will only use us as much as our obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22 and 23 says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness is, you know, the Lord's told you to do something and you don't do it, you're stubborn. And that's sin. I don't know how much more plain that needs to be put. If you don't do what you're told, you're rebelling, and that's sin. If the Lord's telling you to go somewhere and you're sitting in the pew here tonight and you're giving to the Lord tithes and whatever else you might be giving to the Lord, but he wants you somewhere else, that's not pleasing to him. He wants obedience. He wants obedience. That's what Romans 12:1 is about, a living sacrifice, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, making ourselves available unto God and say, yes, Lord, I'll be here. I'm usable here. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, I'll be here. That's what Romans 12:1 is about, is saying, yes, Lord, here's my body. I'm going to die to self. I'm dead to self. There's times when we need to discern what God wants for us, and we need to pray and read about that and find God's direction, but then there needs to be action. There's times when we need to discern what God wants, and then we need to say, yes, Lord, regardless of what it is. Regardless of what it is, he knows what's best for us. And if that's deputation, then it's deputation. If that's serving him somewhere, then that's serving him somewhere. If it's witnessing to your family member, we just need to trust the Lord. He knows what's best. And we need to trust that he'll use us and put the words in our mouth that we need to say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you know each and every heart. You know us, Lord, better than we know ourselves. And Lord, you know how disobedient we've been unto you. And Lord, we ask for help. We need your help, Lord. Help to be hearing, Lord, what you're telling us. Lord, to be listening, to be seeking you and trusting you, Lord, with what you have for our lives. Help us, Lord, to trust and obey you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.